All right, folks, welcome back to another episode. I can't even talk after MetCon. I have Metcalf, as Jeremy would say. Another episode of On the D-Lo. This is episode 121, and I'm excited to have an out-of-towner here today. A new friend that is becoming an old friend, Mr. Blaze. How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
How did you get the name Blaze?
Oh, man. So it's not actually a cool story, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. My parents saw it in a name book, and then they decided that they were just going to name me after that. But I like to think, you know, Blaise Pascal was an old scientist, mathematician back in the day who invented the unit of pressure, Pascal. Yeah. So I was like, maybe they thought I was going to be smart at one point. So,
dude, it's a total pilot name. pilot name. Like, you should have been in Top Gun.
Yeah. Bummer. I missed my calling, I guess.
That's awesome. You are a owner of basically, you're an entrepreneur. I mean, that's pretty much why we met. And when did the entrepreneur spirit take over for you?
It's funny. I'd call like a hustler for a while. Yeah. Been like coaching on the side and doing a lot of things that kind of just interested me. And at the end of the day, just kind of leaning into the things that I enjoy doing. And then I kind of found myself in this position where I needed to kind of tip the scales and really buy into me and then the lifestyle that, you know, my wife and I kind of want to live. So,
yeah. And what where are you from originally?
So my dad's actually active duty Coast Guard right now as well.
Makes sense.
Yeah, he's 33 years strong.
Holy cow.
I know. He's a dinosaur. It's funny. We have a email software program that basically they call it global, like the global web.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of seeing his name in global is what I tell him all the time. So it's time for him to pack it up and retire himself. But that's happening this summer. So we're excited to go down and celebrate him in June. They're actually going to do a roast for his retirement ceremony, which is definitely something that's not very standard in that space. So it should be fun. I'm going to have to figure out some witty one-liners to hit him with when we're doing that.
Oh, you meant like an insulting him roast?
Yes.
Not like a pig roast.
Yeah. Totally like Comedy Central style, where someone's going to officiate it and people are going to go up and like just put him on blast. He's going to sit in some dumb chair at the front. It should be fun.
When did you figure like you wanted to be in the Coast Guard? Was it something you'd always admired from your dad?
Or? Yeah, I think the biggest draw was probably the community, which I think almost is the biggest draw for anything, right? Yeah. So we used to live in this, we've bounced all over the place. I think I've done 12 or 13 moves so far, and I'm 28.
Oh my God.
But most of those to different states. At the time when we were living in Hawaii, we were living in this really cool community where we had parents that all got along, kids that all got along. We did like every Friday night, all the parents would go over and sit in a carport and hang out, and all the kids would go play. And it was like one of those things where, you know, it felt very homey. And then I was like, you know what, these type of people are the type of people I want to be around. So that kind of drew me into the Coast Guard. But at the end of the day, if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now, I don't think I'd be in the military. So
how long did you have to stay somewhere in order to like find your wife?
Well, yeah, that ironically enough, she was living in New Jersey and I was living in Texas at the time. Okay. So we didn't even live in the same zip code when we met, and we dated from 3,000 miles away before she moved out of her home. Wow. Of 28 years before she moved to California. Yeah.
How'd you meet?
Through a mutual friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. She'll come on, you know, and probably tell me that I'm doing it wrong and portraying it incorrectly. But long story short, we had a friend that was like, oh, you guys should like meet and hang out. And she had like no interest in talking to me. And I almost had no interest in talking to her. I got out of a long-term relationship at the point. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And eventually she was, having a couple espresso martinis at the bar, and, you know, her friend and I had to, you know, happen to be at their place too. And she kind of bridged the gap between us after two or three times of trying to get us to connect. She flew out to Texas to meet me for the first time to surprise her friend, which she, I think, uses as a facade for the reason that she came down, right? But I had a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van at the time that I was doing like a cross-country road trip in, and that got kind of canceled by COVID. But I had to like pre-position it and be like, hey, I'm going to come pick you up at the airport in a white Sprinter van please don't be alarmed.
Oh, you know, God, like, that's
and hilarious. That's the first time that we had met, like, in person, obviously, after talking for a couple weeks. She said that she shared her location with, like, everybody she knew. She's like, if
she
I go missing.
Plastic lined up in the back of the
Yeah, room. Right. Yeah, Dexter style. No. Yeah. It was kitted out, though. The van was sweet. Had, like, the bed and the furniture, and it was, like, it was super cool.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. And you guys been together ever since?
Yeah. We basically started dating right then, and then we did the whole long-distance thing from California after I moved from Texas up to Sacramento, and she was living in New Jersey at the time. Yeah. And we did that for a little over a year before she made the jump, if you will, to move out 3,000 miles away from her friends, family, and loved ones to hang out with me. So,
and you're in Sacramento now. How many more moves do you predict you'll have while you're in this?
I don't even know. So, I got picked up for an aeronautical engineering program that's kicking off this summer. So I'll go through that. It's kind of like an on-the-job training for project management.
Yeah.
And most likely after that, I'll go to Clearwater, Florida, which is where our plane is at. We're in Sacramento and Clearwater. So we're most likely in 2025, we'll be moving there.
Why the travel so much with Coast Guard?
So they say a lot of it's like broadening. So, you know, you get used to one area of responsibility, you get used to one like mission set, one type of thing, and they want you to be more well-rounded and know different areas, know different mission sets, fly in different weather. So they want you to kind of have that, you know, call it well-rounded officer, well-rounded pilot, so that you're able to kind of perform in any scenario. So, you know, the normal engineering track, if I decide to go down that route, will likely be, you know, doing a project management role in Clearwater. And then after that, some people will go to grad school. So I don't know if I'm going to go back to school. We'll kind of see. That's why I kind of want to lean into the entrepreneurial stuff as well.
Yeah.
Because I want options. I don't want to kind of pigeonhole myself and be like, I have to stay in the military or I have to do the fitness thing. So I kind of want to have a lot of options, which for better or for worse is kind of the way it's shaking out right now.
What are like a lot of people that you see that are like and similar doing as far as their off time when, you know?
Nothing like what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's totally different. Yeah. It's funny. I come back from, you know, you and me have a very similar schedule from talking to you. Like we're up at, you know, with the birds at 4:30 in the morning. I'll go to work until like 3 o'clock. And then from 3 o'clock till 6 or 7, it's doing the entrepreneurial stuff. And most of the people that I know will come home and they'll kick off and hang out with their family, watch Netflix and TV or whatever. And it's, one of those things that selfishly, I really enjoy. So it's not something that kind of takes energy away. It's something that kind of gives me energy to help people in that way. So I'm hoping that that kind of just keeps me kind of fueled and keeps me kind of going with that type of stuff too.
Do you have an interpretation in your mind if you would ever not want to fly? Or, you know, because, I mean, you're pretty young to be – how long have you been flying now? And you fly some big-ass planes.
Yeah, so our plane is a C-27. It's a two-prop C-130, typically is around 60,000 pounds with fuel.
That's a definition for big as shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I don't know. So I've been flying planes since 2018, but I was in the Coast Guard as a – engineer on a ship before then.
Okay.
So we did drug busts in the Eastern Pacific where we were like, you know, kitted out with bulletproof vests going onto boats. I was crawling through fish guts looking for cocaine.
Oh
with
my
like,
God.
Yeah, with smugglers and stuff back in the day. So that life was cool. Being on a ship and deployed was cool for 3 months at a time when you're single, when you don't really have a lot of those responsibilities. But as you get more senior, that like lifestyle is something that's really, really tough for you to do because you're leaving and then you're coming back and it's a new season, right? Like your friends are like, dude, where you been for 3 months? Like I've had life things happen.
Or you're hoping you come back.
I mean, totally.
Yeah.
Or they're even longer deployments and they're 6 months and then even more so, like you get so disconnected. You eventually you're like finally in your lane on the deployment and then you're coming back to your normal quote unquote life. And then you get right in your groove with your normal life, and then you're going back on deployment. So that kind of sporadic nature is something that I wanted to get away from, which was kind of the impetus for me to go into flight training and kind of go that route to fly planes instead. When our longest deployment now is like 2 weeks El Salvador, where you get to surf, you get to fly for 6 hours a day, and then you hang out with the crew and grab a couple of beers by the pool, and it's definitely different.
But not to fool anybody, like the Coast Guard is pretty badass. Like you guys go through some rigorous training and have to do some really like hard shit.
Totally. So a lot of people don't know, and just probably because we're smaller than the NYPD, but every Coast Guard aviator that's ever lived has gone through naval flight training. Okay. So Navy has like big school, and all the Marines and all the Coast Guard guys go to their training program. So we go to the same training that all the guys that eventually go to Top Gun go to. We fly in like a two-seat. I can send you a photo of the plane.
Yeah,
it's pretty sweet. Like pulling G's, doing aerobatics, like flying 240 knots, like 5 feet away from another plane. Like it's super, super fun. And then after you finish your naval flight training, you then go on to learn your Coast Guard aircraft. So once I finished that in 2020, the winter of 2020, I went and learned like our Coast Guard platform after that and our mission set.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you always been into health and wellness during this whole time and been able to kind of balance what I would assume any big organization may or may not have issues in? I don't know. I've never been in the Coast Guard, let alone the military, but I have to assume that they're not necessarily serving you always. Organic, grass-fed, like, and you know, the best.
Yeah.
Of the best.
So it's funny that the Coast Guard is kind of like the black sheep of the military services, and it's probably because we fall under the Department of Homeland Security versus Department of Defense. Ah. So, like, Department of Defense has like big budget. You know, it's flashy. You with missiles, with deployments to war, with all these other things, and the Coast Guard is in the Department of Homeland Security, so we get lumped in with like TSA, like those types of entities. So we don't have the funding that they have. So needless to say, our product when it comes to that is definitely more, what's the way to put it lightly?
Craft?
Yeah, yeah. It is more budget friendly for them for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, the fitness thing has been a part of my life for forever. I kind of grew up playing sports,
lacrosse,
all different types. Yeah, and then I went to college and played lacrosse.
Yeah, where at?
At the Coast Guard Academy.
No shit.
So we have, it's the same as Naval Academy, West Point, and Air Force, but we are a way smaller school. So we only have like 1,000 kids in the whole entire school, like when I was there at least. And the classes aren't much bigger. They're probably, maybe they have 1,200 total students now.
Yeah.
So we were a Division III NCAA program. I actually made the jump with the team from a Division II MCLA club program to an NCAA program, which was pretty cool. And then now, you know, the sport's kind of growing all over the place. But I played baseball for a long time, basketball, soccer, kind of all the things.
Yeah.
My wife gets mad at me. She's like, you're good at sports. You like, it's frustrating to, like, play new things with you. And I'm like, no. Kind of jack of all trades, master of none style. Where,
ask her to play Scrabble with you. She'd kick your ass.
Yeah, right.
Kicks my ass in Scrabble every time.
That's right.
That's hilarious, dude. So let me ask you this. Do you think that lacrosse attributed to your giant thighs?
I don't know, to be honest.
This guy has the largest thighs I've ever seen. We just got done doing Metcon, and like I thought like these two trees were walking in. It was just absolutely huge.
I don't actually know what happened. I'll show you. I could show you a photo of me like when I was 18, and like I was 150 pounds soaking wet.
Wow.
You know, same height. But I started getting into like, you know, working out. I didn't have any nutritional like background at all.
Yeah.
It was just like lift the heaviest weights that you can, probably from a place of like ego lifting and doing it kind of the wrong way. But it was like squat, bench, deadlift, rinse, wash, repeat. Like it was just all about it.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So I now do not like load up bars really anymore. I've just started recently kind of getting into some more barbell moves, but it's more like moving it functionally versus like how much can you do, which I think is probably good for me. But ironically enough, when I moved that, I feel like my thighs got bigger, so I don't really know how that works.
Yeah, look, we all have genetic gifts. I guess that's yours, right? That's funny. So you're approaching your 30s. How do you feel now at this point in your life as opposed to just say your early 20s when you're just kind of, you know, like you're still a maniac? I know I was, right? You know, there was just nothing. Like what's this season coming up for you? What does it mean to you, and how are you taking it on?
Jeez. I guess this season has become kind of like personal growth for me. So in my 20s, I think I invested a lot in other things, which, you know, for better or for worse, were probably not something that were important to me.
Like material things, or?
I wouldn't say that. You know, the government doesn't pay that much, D-Lo. Come on now.
Yeah.
So I would say it was more like investing in what other people thought was important more
mm-hmm.
so.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like getting into my own lane where I like feel like I'm getting much more in alignment with like what I enjoy, the people that I want to be around that kind of build you up instead of break you down. Like all those types of things are starting to kind of come together. So yeah. It feels really good to be moving in this direction versus kind of being in the direction where it's like kind of doing what everybody else is doing because it's just like the group of people that I'm around. I'm kind of branching out and doing it my own way, which is cool.
That's beautiful. And to figure that out at such a young age, I remember when I was 28, 29, I was drinking too much. I was a wreck. I mean, but I still got my shit done. But just to think like, and I look at my son who's 22, and granted, he still does 22-year-old things, but I think the mindset of the youth, and not a lot of people give people your age or even younger that much credit right now, but I give them the most credit and the most respect, especially with the world that we live in today and all the ancillary stuff that just can pop into people's heads. And if you're able to ignore it and just run your own life and do exactly what you said, find what's important to you and what uplifts you and what brings you together, I think that's a recipe for winning at all times.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's the comparison game, you know, we talk about all the time. Yeah. It's real. Like people want to, you know, compare even today when we're doing the, you know, Metcon's a place where you're competing, you're there to right. compete with other people. But I was like, man, like people were like looking over your shoulder, like, oh, how much are they doing over there on that skier? How much are they doing on the yeah. bike? And it's like, you know, I kind of just like to be on my own kind of thinking that like, hey, I'm, you know, doing my best. And at the end of the day,
yeah.
I don't really care what somebody else is doing. You know, it's nice to know that you're competing and doing that thing, but we're running our own race, just like health and wellness, just like, you know, flying planes, like, you know, it's great to lean on the experience and knowledge of other people, but you can really only do what you can do and meet yourself where you are to kind of get where you want to be. So
comparison is the thief of joy.
There you go.
Hit yeah, it is. So Blue Chip Athletics, where did the name come from?
So I was, because my dad's in the Coast Guard, my mom actually, she's an author now. She writes young adult fiction. I'm going to end up name dropping her books
yeah,
right here,
please.
Too. So Marcy Lynn Curtis, she authored The One Thing and The Leading Edge of Now, and she's got a third book that's on its way. But working with Disney for the first one, and she worked with the editor of The Hunger Games, Kate Eden, on the second one,
that's
which is
amazing.
Super cool.
Wow. Congrats, yeah. Mom. Wow.
But she didn't start writing until, like, I was out of school already. So when we were growing up, we didn't have a ton of money and like freedom in that way.
Yeah.
All of our vacations came when we were moving from place to place because the military kind of pays for that move. So
it's vacation. Yeah,
yeah, totally.
Smart.
We like,
yeah.
kind of built those vacations in. But because of that, you know, we weren't getting, and nowadays it's totally different, right? Specialized coaching.
Yeah.
For you to be an athlete that is, you know, competing at the Division I level in college, like you really need either an unreal amount of genetic gift, the money and means to do it in a school system that kind of applies that and mm-hmm. or a club organization that does, and then people that support you. So for me, I had the support. We never were really in the right like position to do it. So, you know, we're moving from this place to this place. You finally get in a program, then you leave. The school program changes, however that kind of looks. But Blue Chip Athletic Club, the whole point was to coach youth athletes. Like I love working with youth athletes, like, you know, high school kids that are trying to make it and play at the high level in college. So it was like, hey, what's a blue chip athlete? Well, that's the athlete that gets like the instant, like you're into the school, even if you have like a 1.0 GPA.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm not, I guess, encouraging kids to get a 1.0 GPA. Obviously.
Yeah. Don't be dumb.
Yeah. 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 But at the end of the day, it's like getting the kids to that point and making it also affordable was like the big key. So I don't want to make it so that a kid that was in the same similar position as me who loves sports and found so much joy doing them, playing with a team, being a part of that community too, to where it's got to be something that you like also live and breathe and then make it something that other kids can afford too. So the vision eventually is to have an in-person space as well where it's kind of like a building, you know, maybe like one side's turfed out, weights, you know, specialized coaches. So maybe your son plays basketball. Maybe, you know, my daughter plays hockey or whatever. And you're like, hey, you're going to go meet with the basketball coach. You're going to go meet with the hockey coach. And there's small group training with those specialized individuals that mm-hmm. do that. And then you and me, we go hang out and we do our free weight training. We do our class stuff on the other side of the gym. And then at the end of your hour, however long it takes, you meet and then you get out of there. So
that's cool.
Kind of builds that, like, the kids get to do their own independent thing. You get to do your kind of thing and get some time away, but you're being super efficient in that space too. So,
but you have to be in a place for longer than a year.
Yeah.
So where would you like to settle? Have you thought about it? Traveling all around?
Oh, geez. My favorite place I've been so far is probably Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah. Charleston's cool.
Yeah. I spent a little over a year there. I really, really loved the culture there. I mean, it's beautiful. But you know, I'm not really, tied down to anywhere right now. So we'll see kind of how it looks. And at the end of the day, I just want to position myself and our family in a position where we can do that. We can choose where we want to go. And we're not kind of...
Chelsea doesn't want to go back up north, does she?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think when she left home, I think that it was like a big growth moment for her too. Yeah. And she kind of realized like, hey, it's good to kind of branch out and do these things that are kind of different. I think she was in like a monotonous kind of, I don't want to say a rut, but like doing the same thing with the same people that she had grown up with all the time and not seeing anything really new. And now when she goes back, she's like, I just got a lot of perspective now, which is really great. So
yeah, look, hats off to her. She's a sweetheart, great personality. I know she doesn't like to do the social media stuff, as we talked about in some of our coaching calls. But, I mean, she just went in there today and grinded.
Yeah,
you know,
she's
not
a beast.
One complaint, just gets it done. Yeah. So, blue chip, I mean, obviously that would be probably like an end-all, be-all goal, have a facility, do those sorts of things. I can tell that your heart and your passion's into helping, you know, the youth and doing that. But right now it exists as a coaching platform.
Totally.
And you're helping people. Does that counter cross into the Coast Guard and people looking for, you know, help that may be in there that need athletic help or even food help, nutrition stuff?
Yeah. So I've got some clients that are active duty military members as well. And it's been super cool working with them, right? Because you know what they went with, what they've been through.
Yeah.
Right. Like you,
relatable.
You were there through the same thing. You understand their financial situation. I mean, anybody can Google what a, you know, X person in the military makes on a day-to-day basis. Like, that's public knowledge and information. So it's been cool to work with them because you can relate in a way that I don't think a lot of people can. And the other thing, too, is, like, they may know how to train, but, like, a lot of the nutrition stuff, a lot of the mindset stuff, a lot of that kind of real key points, that behavioral change theory, all those things that really swing the needle in the other direction, I don't think are really emphasized in the military as much as they should be.
Yeah.
So I think that it's really cool to deliver that product to them because, you know, people be like, oh, you're doing online coaching. And it's really easy to be like, yeah, we do training and nutrition programs
right.
for people. And they're like, okay, like, what else? And it's like, well, it's really, really hard for us to define, like, what else is happening because people come in with their own unique challenges. And they're like, hey, I struggle with binge eating, or I'm doing X, Y, or Z, and we're not getting out of our scope of practice, but we're definitely like helping people kind of sit back and ask the questions because the answer is always in the question that you're asking, right? So like, hey, what's your relationship with this? How are you feeling when you're going and running to the pantry, opening up the pantry and being like, am I, you know, bored? Am I tired? Am I, you know, just working from home and I've got all this instant access? Like, are your snacks on eye level shelves? You know, if your ho-hos are at eye level when you
open
up the
pantry. Why are there ho-hos in there to begin with?
Well, for sure, that's one, food environment, right? But then two would be like, if they're at eye level, if you put them maybe on the top shelf or you put them at your feet, you probably wouldn't eat them as much. So bringing like really, really small, simple things like that to somebody's life, it totally changes things. And you start to feel that momentum is, you know, incredibly rewarding for us too.
I like what you said, or at least I think that's what you said in the context of the answer is always inside of the question, you know?
Yeah.
It really is. That's really cool. You are very wise for just, no, seriously, where, and I think a lot of that has to do with being in, you know, the family that you've been in, the way that you've grown up, the way that you've had to grow up probably a lot faster than most kids. I mean, it's not easy to have to pack up and go and, you know, figure things out and make new friends and do all that stuff. I think it adultitizes you a lot quicker. That's a word, right?
Yeah. It's funny though, you say that, because now when I stay somewhere a little bit too long, like I get a little antsy, you know, like I'm like, oh, like when am I leaving?
Because you're always growing.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it's good and bad too, right? You know, then I always feel like, and I'm sure other entrepreneurs can agree, like then it's always like, what's next? Like, what's the next step? What's the next thing? What's the next piece of growth? What's the next this? And sometimes I find I'm so focused on that thing that I struggle to enjoy the now and the moment. And that's something that I'm trying to work on personally, because I think it's important to kind of sit back and smell the roses, because, you know, in 10 years, if I'm like, I didn't enjoy that because I was always just going for the next thing, like, then what's it for, right?
Yeah. You know? We're so busy trying to be busy.
Totally.
Yeah. Even I've had to dial down. I mean, I have, you know, I've told you guys this on the coaching calls, and so you all know Blaze is in our mastermind, and the thing is like, I have to get focused, and I have, like, four different coaches. I have a media coach. I have, three trainer coaches. I have a business coach. And it's the same thing all the time, because I'm always wanting to grow. I'm always wanting to do more. And it's like, dude, just understand, like, find something and just do that for a little bit. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. I find myself doing the same thing. Like, I'll sign up for, you know, I'm training for, actually, it's this coming weekend. It's like a CrossFit Games adjacent type of deal.
Yeah.
And then in May, I'm going to go do a High Rocks race. Have you heard of these before?
High Rocks?
Yeah. So it's like a new, it's almost like a Spartan race, and functional fitness had a baby.
Oh, geez.
So you'll do like 1 kilometer of running. And then after your 1 kilometer of running, there's 8 stations and it's all split up by runs. So you'll run for 1 kilometer and you'll do like a ski erg for 1,000 meters. You'll run 1 kilometer, you'll row for 1,000 meters. Yeah. You'll run. And all these different stations. I'm competing in the one in Anaheim, in LA, next month in May.
I might have to do that.
Yeah, you should come out.
Oh my God.
Come out and run it with me.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's brutal. I've been training a couple weeks now, and I actually have bullied a couple buddies into doing it with me. But it's a cool, like, new thing. It's like, you know, it's not CrossFit, it's not Spartan, it's definitely like niched out. But it's relatively new, so it's definitely something that I'm, like, excited to test my hand at and see how it goes.
Nothing wrong with new and good challenges. I mean, like, last year I dropped 20 pounds and 10% body fat just to go stand on stage with a horrible spray tan, But it was like, okay, I have a goal. I have that's just kind of, I think, how us type A are built, you know, and it works. Tell me if I'm correct. Correct me if I'm wrong. Nala?
Nala.
Yeah. Okay. And so female, right?
She is.
She is. Okay. Tell me about your dog and what she means to you.
Oh, man. Dogs are the best.
Yeah.
So I adopted Nala. Then this is a pretty funny story. Like, I was moving from Charleston to Pensacola, Florida for flight training. And I decided, a lot of people that go to flight school, they get a dog. And I don't really know why. but I've always wanted my own dog, too. So I actually was visiting my folks who live in not in the Panhandle. They live in Central Florida, like the Clearwater, Tampa, mm-hmm. St. Pete area. So I was down there visiting them, and I'm like, oh, like, I'll go and check out, you know, the pound and see where the dogs are. Yeah, and I saw her photo on there, and I walk up to her, like, little pen, and it says, like, you know, I think her name was Tate. Yeah, Tate, T-A-T-E. And it was like, female dog, blah, blah, blah. And then under her sign, it said, please see staff, extra requirements, not recommended for children. Like, all these, like, stipulations under her thing. And I was like, oh, God, like, this dog's going to, like, bite a kid's hand off if I get her, like, blah, blah, blah. So I go back, and they're like, hey, you want to meet the dog? I'm like, sure. And she's super, super sweet. She comes out, she's hanging around. And long story short, she was adopted and then returned by somebody. And when they returned her, they said that she had bit someone. And she was a 6-month-old puppy at the time, like 40 pounds, nice and cute.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, like, we take this really seriously. The shelter says that. And then they're like, do you want to file a bite report for the dog? Because it kind of stays with the record, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, we don't want to do that. We just want to give the dog back. So what I think ended up happening is that they weren't, you know, ready to have the dog.
Have a dog, yeah.
And they brought the dog back saying that it bit somebody. But then at the end of the day, like, I don't think that Nala would have been adopted at all, because people see that and they're immediately like, no shot, I'm going to take this dog home.
Yeah.
But she, when I first saw her, she, like, the chain link fence is, like, right there, and she, like, comes up and she presses her face against it, wanting to get, like, pet. And I was like, this
you're sold.
Fucking dog just, like, stole the heart out. But yeah, it's always been, it's awesome to have somebody whenever you come home. It's just, like, ecstatic to see you. they love and care about you. And like, she's been an awesome like partner and companion for the last 6 years with me. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Dogs are the best, man.
They are, man.
They change our lives. As far as your own habits, just, I know your days are all over the place. And if you follow him on social media, and I'll put all his links on there, you can see the craziness of what is Blaze's life. But when you're just in a normal day, normal routine, kind of what's your wake up? What are some of the foods that you eat? What are your routines? Just to give people an idea.
Yeah, so I'm typically up at 4 o'clock. So I'll wake up and I will take AG1, Athletic Greens,
there you
in
go.
The morning.
Yeah, there you go.
Every day. I typically am throwing that up on social just because I think it just kind of shows that the habit pattern consistency needs to be there.
Agreed.
So I'll do that, and then I'll read and journal in the morning. And then I also have started to do a little bit of PD in the form of like certification courses and stuff that I had recently signed up for. So like, I really use my morning to like hammer out like my non-negotiables of those things, and everybody else in the world is sleeping. So the nice part is like that time is really, really mine.
Yeah.
And initially, and I'll say this too, like I did not want to wake up at 4 a.m. and it was not something that I like flipped the switch and was like, I'm now up at 4 a.m. and I'm doing all of these things.
Yeah.
Like it was very slow and methodic to where like, oh, I woke up at 4:45 or 5 o'clock and I started to read. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should start journaling. And I started doing that. And then kind of habit stacked all of these things. And now it is what it is. And I'll always get up and move. I'll either go to a class at like 5 o'clock at a local gym that I coach and instruct at as well, called Urban Flex and Flow in Sacramento. It's an amazing studio owned by some really, really great people. So I'll either attend a course there or class there, or I'll work out in my garage, kind of similar to your setup.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'll come back. I'll dip in the cold plunge in the morning. I know that a lot of people will kind of say like, hey, you know, the cold plunge, you're not supposed to do it within X amount of time of working out with all the health benefits, blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
And I'll tell them to pack sand because I do it for the mental battle more than anything, you know. And my thing is like I want to do all those mental battles and have all those wins early on because it just sets my whole day up for wins, you know. So even if I, you know, don't have the best workout in the day, I'm still getting the cold plunge. I'm still doing my thing. And then at the end of the day, when I walk into work at 7:30, my Coast Guard job, I'm like, yep, I did all these things this morning. Like I'm already off to the races. I feel awake. I feel alert. And then from 7:30 to 3, I'm doing some sort of Coast Guard flight mission, managing people, whatever that kind of equates to. And then after that, I come back. I'll coach. Sometimes people come to the house and train with me, one-on-one personal training.
Oh, cool.
I work with some lacrosse athletes too in the Sacramento area. So if anybody's interested in doing that as well, we work with some high school kids that are trying to kind of get a little bit, you know, more aggressive on the field, figure out a way to be more explosive, all those things. And then it's really business stuff until 6-7 o'clock at night. I try to shut it down at that point.
Yeah.
Chelsea will probably tell me that I am not the best at it. Sometimes we'll be eating dinner or laying in bed, and I'll be like, what if we did this with the group? And she's like, dude, shut up.
Right,
like,
right.
It's,
go to bed.
Yeah, but it's hard for me to turn it off, right? So usually I'll stop. We'll eat dinner together, hang out, and then we are in bed probably like 8:30 or so.
Yeah.
And then I actually read at night as well and journal too. So it's like a double whammy sandwich in the day.
Yeah.
Kind of a way to reflect and then kind of set my next day up. And that's pretty much Monday through Friday. There's some days where I have to sleep at work and stand like a 24-hour alert duty, which is similar to a fire station. And that routine kind of gets thrown off. But for the most part, that's kind of how
it
is. Saturday, Sunday, I wake up pretty early, too. It's not always 4 o'clock, but the same routines definitely exist, too. So
I like what you said, habit stacking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Habits are everything.
Totally. Yeah. Well, they say you form your habits, your habits form you, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Dude, this is great. All right, rapid fire questions. You ready?
Hit me.
Okay. Van Halen or Pantera?
Van Halen.
Good job. Maverick or Iceman?
Oh, come on, man. You got to go Iceman. Come on. I probably surprised you with that.
You actually did.
You know why? I think it's because like some people have told me we look similar, and I was like, I got to go with the guy that someone says we're similar looking. So
that's awesome. cookies or cake?
Ooh, what kind of cake we talking?
Whatever cake you want.
Yeah. I'll probably do a cake.
Okay. Yeah, I like carrot cake.
Or lemon meringue. Carrot cake's good.
Oh, God, I love cake. Flying planes or playing lacrosse?
Ooh, I'd rather play lacrosse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gym or the outdoors?
Outdoors.
Okay. Concert or a sporting event?
Concert.
What's your favorite band?
Ooh, right now I like the Blue Stones. You heard of them?
Yeah.
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 They got a cool, like, rock feel.
Yeah.
I saw them in San Francisco. I was like, these guys rule.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I love hearing new bands and stuff. Aliens or ghost?
Like, whether they exist or which I prefer?
I don't know. If they do exist, do you prefer one over the other?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if both existed, I would probably say I'd rather mess with an alien. I feel like they'd be cooler.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Stock market or gold?
Stocks.
Okay. Road trip or homebody?
Road trip for sure.
Yeah, I figured that.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'll put it in show notes. Where can everybody find you and what are, if anything, what are some stuff that you're promoting or?
Cool. We are at Blue Chip Athletic Club on pretty much all social handles. We're always just looking for people that are trying to improve their health and wellness in the space of, you know, mindset, motivation, methods, nutrition, training, all those sorts of things and everything in between, kind of a one-stop shop. We're always looking for more people to kind of join our community. But again, it's nice. We've gotten to the point now where we're being very selective with the people that we take in because we want the right type of person to be there to build our culture the right way.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's fortunate now that we've been able to say no to some people too. So, if anybody's looking to kind of be in a group of people that really build you up and help you along the way, then definitely hit us up.
Definitely. And check out, I mean, we all resonate towards those that, give us life, give us energy. And when you find somebody like Blaze, if it resonates with you, it's definitely worth, you know, implying or checking out. I think it's a great thing. I mean, it's an interesting world that we live in with all the noise that goes on. And I'm sure you hear a lot of it just being in the line of work that you're at of like what's reality and what's, you know, actually going on. Cause you're the actually going on sort of stuff, which is kind of cool. I did want to ask you, and I guess I would be remiss not to, just like when you look at being a part of what, you know, Jeremy and I have provided or whatever, what has that meant for you so far?
Man, it's really cool. So Dave and Jeremy do something completely, well, I guess Jeremy somewhat does similar stuff to me and your business is totally different. But what it has provided is it's provided people that are wise, you know, beyond their years in the world of business and entrepreneurial stuff. And really just somebody to back up the fact that you're on the right path, you know, like, at the end of the day, I think everybody kind of knows what they need to do. Like, let's say you want to get healthy, right? Everybody knows you probably need to eat clean. You probably need to move around. You probably need to do those things. But it's having that coach that, like, nudges you in the right direction or says, like, hey, man, like, you're doing the right thing. You are on the right path. You have a connection that's really important. Like, hey, maybe you're looking to work with somebody and you're like, I don't know who to call, who's somebody that you trust. And you guys have vetted that. I mean, you've been in the game where you either had to look for somebody to do search engine optimization or you had to figure out a guy and it's somebody that you likely resonate with. You share similar values. You're not going to give a referral to somebody who you don't, you know that they're going to be taken care of. So I think that like the network has been great, like being in the group with other people that have high aspirations, you know, it's not, thankfully for me, and I don't know if it's like this for everybody, like having a lot of money is cool, but like, what do you do with that? And then are you giving back to someone else? And what kind of drives you is really, really important to me. And there's a lot of people in there that I think are about that too. So,
no, I appreciate that. And it's very well said in the aspect that I've had several one-on-ones with everybody in that group. And exactly what you said just reiterates what it is that I think people need and are looking for and really helps them. And when I or Jeremy are able to be that little bit of a push that is like, oh, yeah, I already know the answer. thank you for reiterating that, because, you know, you've been through it, or you've made the mistakes, you've given me the resource. And then to watch, you know, people like Mandy in our group who just quit her corporate job and is now, and, you know, and is like 2 months later just kicking ass and love. And she knew the answer a long time ago, but it wasn't until now. And so, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. And for me, it's a give back as well. You know, I trust me, there's plenty of other things I could be doing with my hours a day, but I've just gotten to a point now where I've done it all. I've grown a large agency. I've got great people that can run that. Now I want to be able to, you know, it's almost like my kids don't need me anymore. I want to find other adult kids, you know, to help. So it's been a lot of fun. So yeah, thank you.
It's funny. I hear the saying, it's like you learn to earn to return. Mm-hmm. So like all that kind of cycle of like how you kind of figure out your own life cycle and to give back. So
yeah, it's very cool. Well, thanks for hanging out with me on a Sunday.
Of course, man.
I know your wife's out getting coffee.
I know. She'll be back soon. Pick me up from school, you know.
Pick you up from school. But this has been fun. Thank you, everybody. Please subscribe to the podcast. Leave it a 5-star. As Jeremy Scott would say, don't be a lazy ass. And, you know, I really appreciate you listening. Follow Blaze on all of his stuff that he's doing. I'll put it in show notes. If you're watching on YouTube, it'll be below. And until next time, peace out.